You know, there's a lot of blood in the Bible. And I'm not referring to blood spilled during all the wars that God's chosen people found in that are found in the scriptures, or the blood poured out by their adversaries in these battles. And there's plenty of that. Blood is life. And it's been said that there is life in the blood. Tonight, we get another image of blood, the life-giving blood of Jesus, which will be shed on the cross. Here are the headlines from the Jerusalem Gazette. Jesus feeds 5,000 men. Details will later be found in Mark chapter 6. Later, another headline read, Jesus feeds 4,000, later recorded in Mark chapter 8. In both cases, Jesus fed people who were hungry. Some may have been reminded of the words of Isaiah 25. On this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats and the finest of wines. On this mountain, he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all peoples, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove his people's disgrace from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. Tonight would be different. Jesus and the 12, a much smaller group, gathered in a large upper room to observe the Passover meal. What he has done for the multitudes, he now does for the 12, with important differences. Just like the original Passover meal, something new and big and awesome and fearsome is about to happen. And there's no way you can really anticipate its magnitude. For on this night, Jesus identifies a loaf with his own body. Bread is broken, as Jesus' body will be broken. And when ingested, its brokenness allows it to give sustenance to others. Now, predictably, at Passover, Jesus gives thanks over a cup and gives it to all his companions. It is a commemoration of the Passover, in which the blood of the Passover lamb marked the doors of the Jews in Egypt. Blood was on the doorposts. Today we know later that Jesus' blood will be shed. Passover was a pilgrimage event, a festival that required travel to Jerusalem in those days. It was a meal eaten in haste, because something is going to happen. There is an urgency about the time. The meal is the same meal. Now, unpredictably, he associates its content with my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. A reminder of Jesus' own description of the Son of Man's service as a self-sacrifice so that others might be freed. And isn't this the way that food functions in so many societies? It connects people together. Jesus is saying, I am the thing that will connect you to each other. And in this meal, Jesus plays two roles. He is the host of the meal, and he is the dinner. And then there's the blood of the covenant. You know, that blood that marked the covenant. For it marks you as people of the covenant. And the angels passed over those doors in Egypt. You are connected to God through the blood of Jesus. And all of this is magnificent and it's mysterious. But there's something else in our text. Jesus predicts that Peter will deny him and that the other disciples will desert him. And Peter, and for those of you who have been watching the Chosen videos, Simon really comes across as that impetuous type person. And he objects. Now, when he objects, he's expressing the best of intentions. No, Lord, I will never leave you. I won't desert you. And Jesus is knowing that he's sharing a meal with those he knows that will abandon and betray him. And he shares a meal with them anyway. I will lay down my life for you anyway. And after the resurrection, I will meet you in Galilee. You don't have to deserve this thing that Jesus is doing for you. For you see, while the disciples, and probably candidly many times we, are unreliable, Jesus is reliable. He knows what human frailty is like. He knows how hard it is to be human and face the things that we face. And there's almost a letdown in Mark's readings. After the meal, they sing a hymn, probably something from the Psalms, a part of the Psalms that's called the Hallel. Psalms 113 to 118 that are sung before, during, and after the Passover meal. Our reading earlier this evening was from Psalm 116, so it kind of fits right in there. And so they leave and they go to Gethsemane. And guess what? The disciples fail to stay awake. Jesus prays for relief. Take this cup from me, but not my will, but yours be done. And then he accepts the cup that God has given him. The crucifixion looms in front of us. And I was struck with the thought that the text forces us to look deeply into the frightening idea that no matter how strong our convictions or how good our intentions, at the end of the day, we can't really trust ourselves. Even in the inner circle, there is someone who can betray. Maybe the disciples realize that even they are capable of betraying. And what is true of the disciples is true of us. So we're left in a place of heartbreak. And we're then caught in a web of love. There is not an easier way. Your heart will be broken. And when it is, it will open a connection between you and the divine. For if we don't want our hearts to harden, we must have them broken. The blood of Jesus' covenant. Covenants can also be known as testaments. And we're familiar with last wills and testaments. Jesus' death seals the salvation that he offers. God is the God who saves us from death. God pours out his blood. All of us can proclaim the saving grace and sacrificial love of God, which we come to know most fully through Jesus. Let us pray. Holy Jesus, the bread and wine of your Last Supper have become your body and blood, given for us. Transform us with your holy presence. Cleanse us, forgive us, and renew us in your word. Amen.